everybody. Welcome to season 2 of the Creative Juicebox podcast. If you are new to this season or to the podcast in general, as a reminder, my name is Hannah. I'm a New York City-based portrait photographer, and this is a show all about helping you connect with yourself better so that you can build your confidence, overcome creative blocks, and ultimately create the work of your dreams. I'm currently coming back from a 2-month break from the podcast. And if you're listening, thank you for waiting around for me to get started again, because I definitely needed that break. I had a lot of plans for stuff that I wanted to do over this break. A lot of them were productive, a lot of them were work-related, but I think deep down I knew what I really wanted to do was relax and just have some fun with my friends, with my family, and that's exactly what I did. So today's episode is kind of just getting back in the groove of doing the podcast. It's a new year, it's a new season. Happy 2024. Can't believe that 2020 was already 4 years ago. But what actually seems crazier to me is that 2019 was 5 years ago. 2019, I feel like, was not that long ago to me. And 2020 does feel like that long ago, just because how the world, you know, blew up in flames. But yeah, I'm really just struggling that 2019 was half a decade ago now, when in fact, that was actually last year, as far as I'm concerned. Also, over the course of this episode, if my voice sounds a little different, it's because I have a cold. I don't have COVID. I took many tests. But it's just, you know, you forget that sickness also existed before COVID and other sicknesses exist after COVID. So my voice is a little different, it's a little congested. But actually, what an interesting full circle moment this is, because when I recorded my very first episode of the podcast almost a year ago now, taking a moment to process that fact also. But when I recorded my first episode, I was also sick, and that was the last time that I was actually super sick. So maybe this is just something that happens January, February every year, and I'm going to be okay with that. So anyways, now that it's a new year, I want to go over some of my creative New Year's resolutions. And I don't really want to call them resolutions. What I actually want to call them are ins and outs. And I know this is very trendy right now to make a little in and out list. And I had to jump on. I want to do my own. One thing that I don't really like about resolutions is that they're very external focused most of the time. I know one of them for a lot of people is to hit X amount of followers on Instagram this year. Well, you can't convince people to follow you. You can control, oh, I'm going to post 5 times a week, or I'm going to create more content that I'll share on stories every day. That's stuff that you can control. But if your goal and your resolution is to achieve this external goal, then I feel like that just leads you to getting frustrated, when I feel like the sense of accomplishment should come from doing the things that you're putting into achieving that goal, if that makes sense. So if you do have a personal list of resolutions, I want you to just think about the things that you can actually control on them and which things are just products of things that you can control. And it might be helpful to even just work backwards on the things that you'd actually be doing in order to achieve that goal, and make the act of doing that the goal itself. Hoping that makes sense. Okay, so before I jump into my little list, I do want to share something that I do at the beginning of every year. I've talked on this podcast before, I think only a couple episodes ago, about romanticizing your life, making your life into art. One way that I would do this at the end of every year is on New Year's Eve, I would go through and put together all of my 1-second clips that I took throughout the year every single day and make a little 1-second-a-day video so that I could basically watch back the entire year in just 6 minutes. That is something that I've adapted a little bit to now do every birthday, but this is still very much something that you can do, and a lot of people do, on New Year's. Something else that I do around New Year's is I write down a list of the biggest things that I accomplished that year. And those don't have to be tangibly big things, they can just be big to me. So for example, my list last year included big things like moving to New York, and also maybe smaller things like throwing myself a birthday party with a bunch of new friends. That was so important to me because my last few birthdays have not been very exciting, not very happy times for me. And this year I feel like I was surrounded by people who genuinely cared about me, and it was a really big moment for me. I also got my septum pierced, which is something that I've been wanting to do since college. I got my first tattoo of my granny's signature. That was so meaningful and important to me. I went on a business retreat in January, which was really important for me to show that I'm worth investing in myself. I'm worth investing in my business. I launched a podcast. I dyed my hair pink spontaneously. And then again, there's much smaller things that I'm proud of, like making really awesome Christmas gifts for my friends, going and riding the Cyclone at Coney Island, which is a roller coaster I've wanted to ride since I was very young. So I encourage you to make a list, almost just like a brain dump, of everything that you can think of that happened this year. Big and small, I want you to include everything. Personally, I keep my lists in Notion, which I've talked about before. It's like a notes organization app. I just write them out as bulleted lists, and I have a separate page where I keep every year's. I've been doing this since 2021 when I first started using Notion. And it's cool to now have four separate years where I look at what I was proud of for that year. And then at the bottom of the list, I write a few little bullet points about what I want to do in the coming year. And it's really cool to look back at previous years. And some of them, I have checked off every single thing that I wanted to do that year without even consciously thinking about it. I think even just the act of writing them out and seeing them in the same list as stuff that you've already done makes all of these things feel more tangible. And I'm very happy that moving to New York was something that I actually did this year, because it's been on every single year's list since I started doing this. So I'll also share some of the things that I put on my 2024 list. I made sure that all of these are things that I can control and I actually can accomplish. So first, I want to learn how to crochet. This is something that I started doing at the end of 2023, but I'm very bad at it. And that's kind of on purpose. I wanted to start it because I knew I would be horrible at it. But I'm continuing on. And the ultimate goal is I want to start making little stuffed animals for my friends and like little pillows and plushies. That actually is my dream. I mean, if I could do that full time, I would love to, but I currently don't know how to crochet. So we'll see. Second, I have a couple new photo offerings that I want to launch as well. I won't tell you what they are yet, but they're in the works. I want to get another tattoo. I have another design that I've also wanted to have since I was young. And lastly, the biggest one that I'm hoping I will be able to do, but I have been slacking on my training, is I want to run a half marathon this year. It is a huge task for me to do and train and slot it into my daily life in New York. But it's something that I've really wanted to do after I watched the full marathon. The vibes were so good. And I know that I'm not personally willing to train for a full marathon right now, but I think I've mentioned this on the podcast before. I was a huge runner in high school. I really love the act of running. I feel like my mental health has never been better than it is when I'm running consistently. And so I'm hoping that signing up for a race will hopefully give me some motivation to start running again more often. But in the back of my mind, I know that even if I don't do a half marathon, but I still end up running consistently, I will still feel very accomplished. So we'll see. But that's my short list for 2024. Hopefully, I will listen back to this in a year from now and reflect on how much I did or maybe didn't do. So to recap, I wrote out a bulleted list of stuff that I did this past year. I wrote a list on the same page of what I want to do this coming year. And then at the bottom, because again, I'm using Notion, I'm able to link to a different page. I actually link to a page in my tarot journal. I talked a lot about tarot cards a few episodes ago called How I Use Tarot Cards in the Creative Process. It is my longest episode to date. I put literally everything I know about tarot cards in there. If you are a true beginner, I highly recommend listening to that episode. It will get you started. But my yearly tradition is to do a big tarot reading for the coming year, just to kind of get a big picture view of the coming year. So I'll kind of just speed through this, but I pulled the Judgment card in reverse. And so I kind of interpreted this as stopping to judge myself from mistakes in past relationships, seeing this as a sign to kind of let go of a lot of baggage that I've been carrying from the past and feeling like it defines my future. I pulled the Fool, which is the first card in the entire tarot deck. This is a card of new beginnings, of potential, starting over. And I interpreted this to be not just the start of a new year, it's a very good New Year's card to pull, but also I feel like every year I try to start fresh, and this year is one of the first years where I like my life so much that there's very little that I want to start fresh. So it's helping me really look at small ways that I can start fresh, whether it's just looking at old habits that I want to let go of. And it doesn't necessarily need to be this huge overhaul like I had last year when I literally sold everything, uprooted my life, and then moved to New York. This year can be more of a small, fresh start. Next, I pulled the King of Swords, which is kind of like a man on a mission card, very action-oriented. This is just a reminder to me that I have a lot of pretty lofty goals for the year, mostly including running a half marathon. And so I have a vision. I knew that it was what I wanted to do. And so I actually have to start putting action behind it. I can't just wait until the last minute on something like, I don't know, running a half marathon. Next, I pulled the Four of Swords in reverse. I pull the Four of Swords a lot. It's basically like the rest and relaxation card, kind of like a burnout card after you've been working a lot. This one was kind of a reminder to me that as I'm adding more things that I want to do this year, I don't have an infinite amount of time. I have to reprioritize. I have to make sure that I'm also stepping away from other things in order to make time for it. More on that later. But the next card that I pulled is the Emperor. This is kind of like the authority figure, the father figure of the tarot deck. He's a powerful leader. He's very rule-oriented. And I think this just sort of ties back to the fact that I probably need a structured plan in order to carry out a lot of these things. Again, running a half marathon, but also like traveling. On my list, I have a couple places where I'm going to go this year that require a decent amount of planning beforehand. I can't just show up and figure out what to do. So next, I pulled the Hermit card, which I talked about a lot in one of my first episodes about isolation and if you need to isolate yourself in order to create what you want. The Hermit kind of retracts from everyday life, and I definitely interpreted this more as a social media detox for myself. I'll talk more about this when I share my list, but this is a huge problem for me, spending so much time on my phone. I feel like I'm becoming chronically online in like a I don't have time for my regular life because I'm just scrolling on the internet type of way. And ultimately, I don't want that to be my life. I feel like in 2023, I got really good at building the life part outside of work and outside of my phone. And I think I can do an even better job of doing that in 2024 if I just get my screen time down. Okay, and then lastly, I pulled the Six of Swords. This card shows a man rowing basically into the unknown. It's a card that represents a lot of transitions. And I think this one ties in nicely to the first card that I pulled of just letting go of a lot of baggage from the past, recognizing that I'm firmly in a new era of life right now, and it's up to me to fully transition into this new era of life. I feel like 2023 was a big transition year for me, getting used to New York, getting used to a new life, building new friendships, and I feel like 2024 is the completion of that transition in a way. Okay. So now that we've talked about what I do during the new year, let's talk about my ins and outs list. So let's start with what's in for 2024. And again, these are all creativity focused or sort of in the realm of making more time for your art or just living a more creative life. So first, making weird art. I personally want to make weird stuff this year. And I don't want to say weird as just like, oh, it's unique or it's different. No, I want to make something weird that people look at it and they're like, oh, I've never seen anything that looks like that before. What? I just feel like I have more realms to push my creativity than I've been exploring so far in order to make my art digestible to people, specifically because now in the age of social media, your art also has to be content for other people to consume. But I want to make stuff that maybe I don't even understand. I feel like that's a great creative exercise to do, and I also feel like I need to tap into my weird side more often than I do now. I spent a lot of years in my childhood trying to stop being so weird. I used to be very weird. Actually, last night, my friend sent me some screenshots of some emails that I sent her when I was in sixth grade, and I am shocked that anybody wanted to be my friend. I emailed everybody in all caps, in green letters, and it was like size 40 font. It took up the whole page. And I would just be all over the place saying, hey, we should do this. Hey, we should do this. It was a lot. But I also kind of miss that version of myself. So that's something that I'm going to say is in. Just be weird. Just be a little bit weirder. It doesn't have to be in a cute, quirky way. It can just be strange. It can be odd. Do what you will with that. Okay, so the second one is casual creation. And by this, I mean getting home from work and sitting down at your desk and drawing something random instead of scrolling on your phone. I personally have been doing this a lot with watercolors. I just got like a cheap watercolor set. It's one of those travel ones where you can actually put water in the brush itself. Like the handle where you hold onto the brush, it carries water. So you don't have to keep extra water for your brushes. You just squeeze the brush and it puts water into the brush. It's kind of revolutionary, actually. But after I log off of work for the day, for example, I'll just sit at my desk, put on a podcast, and just draw and paint. And it doesn't even have to look good. Sometimes it turns out a lot better than I expect, but I think just creating and not really paying attention to what you're doing has been very soothing mentally for me, definitely more so than just scrolling on my phone would have. And I think it just kind of gets you into the groove of making art without having to focus on making art. Like, you don't have to focus on the end product of it being art. It can just be anything because the whole benefit is from the process of making it. Okay, number three is arts and crafts nights with friends. For me specifically, this means collage nights. Everybody just kind of brings whatever they have around their house that we could use as scraps. And then you just make a little collage. It's a very fun activity. You can kind of just turn your brain off because you're talking to people while making your collage. And you can say, wow, we made all of these amazing pieces of art out of the same materials, which are just magazines and stickers and stuff. So I've been planning to host my own collage night, hopefully soon. I have a ton of magazines now that I've been hoarding. So I'll update you all on how that goes. That leads me to the next thing that's in for 2024, which is picking up a hobby that you know specifically you're going to be bad at. And I think this one ties in nicely to the last one about arts and crafts parties, because I've also joined somewhat of a crochet club with my friend Abby. We have both been trying to learn how to crochet. She has been doing great at it because she's talented and amazing, obviously. But I've been struggling a little bit more with it. And I think part of it's because I already know how to knit, and I keep trying to project my knitting knowledge onto crocheting, and it's just not really working. But this is something that I deliberately wanted to learn because I knew I would be bad at it. And I think everybody needs a hobby that they're just not that good at. I think it takes a lot of the pressure off of your other hobbies that you feel like you have to be good at. And honestly, if you do it for long enough, you'll probably end up getting good at it, or at least mediocre at it, which is all you can expect in the first place. Okay, so number five on the list is giving art as gifts, or just making stuff for your friends for their birthdays, for holidays, just because, for no reason. This is something that I really enjoyed doing this past holiday season, and I wish I could have done it more. And I'm kind of hoping that I can get to a point with crocheting where I can start making stuffed animals for people, like I mentioned earlier. But I love giving art as gifts. I used to do it a lot more in my childhood. For example, I would put together playlists for my friends and I would burn them onto a CD and I would design the cover art. I would put the track list on the back. But then people stopped using CDs. We use Spotify, Apple Music now. So I kind of just stopped making stuff for people. Until I think the last couple of years, I've started getting back into it more. This year specifically, I made my friend a whole pickle-themed gift because she really likes pickles. So I got her a jar of pickles. I got her the pickle sweatshirt from TikTok that you might have seen. And then I designed a whole poster that looks like a vintage advertisement for pickles. But she is the lady making the pickles, and all of the jars behind her are pickle jars with all of our friends' faces on them. Another gift that I made was a photo album of all of the pictures that I took on my friend's bachelorette party. And I don't know, I think it's nice to be able to just give people things that are made for them. Especially because if I'm going to keep making things that actually take up physical space, the nice thing about photography is that I can just put everything onto my computer. But if I start making stuffed animals, for example, I don't really have the space in my tiny little New York apartment for everything that I make. So if you're somebody that makes physical things that exist tangibly in the world, I recommend just giving them to some of your friends. I feel like they'll appreciate it a lot. All right, and the last thing that's in for 2024 is, drumroll please, reading the books that you already own before you buy more books. This one's tough. This one's really tough for me. It definitely feels like a personal attack on myself. But hear me out. You bought those books because they resonated for you at some point in time. And for whatever reason that you're not reading them, you probably will get something out of those books that are sitting on your shelf. And better yet, once you finish reading that book, you can give it to a friend, and then there will be a nice little gap in your bookshelf to buy another book to replace it. I only put this on this list because I too am somebody who would prefer to buy a new book than read the ones I already own. However, whenever I go back and read a book that I've owned and has been sitting on my shelf, I've literally been looking at it for like 4 years already. Once I actually go back and read it, I'm like, oh, I really could have used this 4 years ago when I bought it. So get reading the books that you already own. I know you have some that you haven't read yet. Okay, so that wraps up what's in for 2024. Now, what I was mentioning earlier is that now that we're including more things in 2024, we have to remove stuff from 2024 also in order to make room for it. Literally, like taking a book off your bookshelf, reading it, giving it to a friend, and then putting something back. So we had 6 items on the what's in list, and we have 6 items on what's out. And the very first thing I wanted to put on the out list is spending more than 2 hours a day on your phone. I know what you're thinking. Your screen time is probably 3 hours, 4 hours, maybe more than that. That's okay. Mine definitely is more than that, and I don't enjoy that fact. I don't like sharing that fact, but that is a fact. For me, 2 hours a day feels reasonable. I actually can't think of what I would be doing for more than 2 hours on my phone every day. And that's because I end up forgetting what I see on the internet every day. Going on the internet is just something that I use to pass the time or to get a little bit of dopamine. And I've been slowly but surely replacing some of those moments with either reading a book, just grabbing a book instead of my phone, doing watercolors, like I said earlier, or if I still want to be on my phone, I will do something like a word game, or I'll do the New York Times crossword instead of social media. This is because I genuinely just want more time in my day. And it's hard for me to admit, but there is more time in my day. I'm just spending it looking at a screen. Now, 2 hours a day is still a lot to spend on your phone. Don't get me wrong, I wish it was zero. But what I'd like to use my phone as instead is just for socializing with people, for connecting with people, for communicating with people, not so much consuming. Because I think that's also really hurting my creativity as well. I think whether consciously or unconsciously, it very much influences what I make. I find that during the periods of my life where I'm spending the least amount of time on my phone, I'm making the most unique art, and I don't think that's a coincidence. And I think this will actually have a direct effect on making weird stuff, because I will be much less influenced by the stuff that I see on social media and the stuff that I see other people making. I can still get inspired by them, but if other people's art is literally half of my waking day, then it becomes much more difficult to access the weird part of my creativity. Okay, so the second thing that's out is the word should. Should does not exist. Should is the idea that somebody else is expecting you to do something, or you're expecting yourself to do something that maybe you don't want to do, and maybe it doesn't even benefit you in this moment. So just a little practice that I want you to do when you are thinking of shoulds. I think especially in this month when we're trying to change our habits and stuff, we think, oh, I should go and work out today. No, stop saying that, because then it becomes a chore. It becomes something that you have to do instead of something that you want to do. So instead of saying, I should go work out today, all you have to do is say, I want to work out today. And if that is genuine, which I hope it is, because you are the one who created that goal in the first place, then I want you to just switch your mind. Just switch it to say, I want to do this today. It's the same idea, but it's reminding you that you are the one who can control whether or not you do it. Not some invisible authority figure that's expecting you to do this thing. Now, I know we all have responsibilities, especially when it comes to work, for example, but even just replacing, oh, I should finish this by 9 p.m. today, for example, you could say, I want to finish this by 9 p.m. And when you say that, it kind of leaves an open space in the rest of that sentence to include why. I want to finish this by 9 p.m. today so that I have more hours to make my art or to read or to spend time with my partner. I think want to helps you access that part of you that actually wants to do it and why you want to do it. Okay, so the third out is inconsistency. And unfortunately, this is a personal attack as well. I'm attacking myself with this one, because I have mentioned on this podcast before that it is pretty hard for me to be consistent with my art. I think creative minds are not super consistent with getting consistent ideas. And while I think that's true, and I still stand by that, I think being consistent with accessing your creativity is a must. Now, it doesn't have to be the same kind of art every day, like you don't do a photo shoot every single day. But for me, I would like to be more consistent with making art, because it makes it easier to make more art once you're in a routine of doing it. And I think something that has helped me when it comes to inconsistency, because I feel like I'm a pretty inconsistent person in many senses of the word, is I start to think about what I do consistently every day without having to think about it. Obviously, I will eat consistently every day. Obviously, I will drink water consistently every day. But there's other things, like I consistently go on my phone every day. The first thing that I do when I wake up, consistently. I also consistently go outside at least once a day. So there are these small consistencies that I have built into my life without even realizing it. And I think that's one way of realizing that I am a consistent person in ways that are more unconscious to me. But if I add in more conscious consistencies, that can get me on my way to being a more consistent person overall. Going back to the casual creation thing, I definitely think that being consistent in doing art in some way every single day as a habit, as a routine, it then becomes something that you crave. Okay, so number 4 on the list of outs is a surprising one. It's parasocial relationships. Yes, parasocial relationships are out. And this was something that was a little disappointing for me when I realized that a lot of my friends keep up with me just from my social media, and I don't feel like I'm talking to my friends as often as I had before I started really posting more on social media, and it just feels a little icky. It feels like there's a disconnect there. Even over the holidays, I ran into somebody who I didn't really know that well, and she basically was like, I know everything that's going on in your life because you post it all on social media. And that was a big wake-up call to me, that that's something that maybe I don't want to be doing all the time. I definitely would prefer to tell my friends what's happening in my life. And even though maybe it's easier to just put things into the void, is that really what I want? Is that really what my relationship with my friends is going to be like? So that's one part of the parasocial relationship thing, actually engaging with my friends and updating them on my life before social media hears about it. But also, I think the whole concept of parasocial relationships, like not seeing people on the internet as real people, has to go. It has to go in some way, shape, or form. It makes sense why they exist, especially when people just project an image onto social media that people become attached to, feel like they know you. But in 2024, we are seeing people on the internet as just people. Something really interesting that happened to me, at least in 2023, is I started just messaging people that I really looked up to in my industry, and I became friends with a bunch of them because they're quite literally just people. I've seen this happen enough times where I know that when a lot of people in your life have parasocial relationships with you, it becomes very lonely. You feel like people don't truly know you. They just know what you share on social media, and it gives them a semblance of knowing you. So this one's kind of twofold, but at the end of the day, for me at least, I want to add a little bit of mystery back to my online presence. I am definitely somebody who overshares a lot, but I'm also a Scorpio. I do require a little bit of mystery, and those two parts of myself are always at odds with each other. So the moral of the story is that in 2024, keeping some things sacred to myself offline. Okay, so the fifth one on the list of outs for 2024 is memory hoarding. And if you recall memory hoarding from early in this podcast, it's one of my favorite episodes I've ever done. You should go listen to it if you don't know what I'm talking about. But at the core of it, memory hoarding is this idea that you take pictures and videos and document your life so almost obsessively because you don't trust your brain to remember everything that you want it to remember. For me, I definitely struggled with this growing up. I would have a lot of attachment issues to items in my room. I would get really upset and kind of spiral if I ever had to throw something away. Then if I had to throw something away, I would just take a picture of it and I would realize, oh, I could just take pictures of things. I started doing that in my everyday life. And now I have a million iCloud accounts and Google Photos accounts that are completely full of pictures and videos of every single thing I've experienced. But it took several years of obsessive memory hoarding for me to realize that my favorite moments of my entire life, I do not have any pictures of them. Now, maybe I have pictures before and after that moment, but my favorite actual moments of my life, I do not have a camera held up to my eye. I'm experiencing it as a person. And I include this in the list of outs for 2024 because it is so important for you to experience your life and not make your life into content. You can make art out of your life. You can document your life, of course. But making your life into something for others to consume and also for you to consume later is not what life is about. Because if there's a moment that is the best moment of your life, you are going to remember that because it's the best moment of your life. You might not remember more mundane moments. You might not remember the aesthetic lunch that you were eating yesterday. But in the grand scheme of your life, that just becomes content of your life for you to consume later or for other people to consume on social media. So in summary, yes, still do document your life, but make sure that you are making art out of your life, of something that gives you pleasure to document in the moment. For example, something I love to do is just walk around my neighborhood and take film pictures. But make sure that the capturing of your life is not getting in the way of your life itself. Okay, and then out number six, the last one on our list, is productivity in order to do more. And what I mean by this is productivity tips and getting good at being productive and time management and all that stuff can go one of two ways. Either you are super productive, you manage your time super well so that you can pack so much more into your day, or you get really good at being productive and efficient so that you can do the same amount of work in less time. And the second approach is the one that I resonate with so much. It's the reason why I wanted to get into productivity in the first place, because when you finish all your work for the day, you can go and do what you want, including creating art. This one was huge for me when I was balancing growing a photography business in Michigan with having a full-time job. When you get more efficient with your work, you can do 8 hours of work in 5 hours, for example. You'll have an extra 3 hours to do whatever else you want. Now, I do know a lot of people who get into productivity, especially now that AI has basically exploded and the average person can use AI to help them work. I see a lot of people going down the route of, oh, I can get twice as much work done in the span of the same amount of time I would work before. And I think that's a slippery slope, because then you are expected to keep up that double amount of work and output basically for the rest of your working life, or at least for the foreseeable future, because that's the expectation that whoever you're working for has for you, even if that's yourself. Whereas if you keep up the same amount of output, but it takes you way less time, that gives you time back in your day. That gives you time to sit around and think. That gives you time to go for a walk. That gives you time to cook a meal that you wouldn't have had time to cook in the middle of the day. I know this is different for everyone's work schedules and work environments, obviously, especially if you work in an office where you have to be there for 8 hours a day. But just for me, in 2024, I see a lot more tools available to us to make our work more efficient, go faster. And I just want to encourage you to resist the urge to try and take on so much more in the same amount of time, and instead first evaluate how doing the same amount of work in less time can just give you back more free time and more of your life. All right, so that wraps up our little list of ins and outs for 2024. Hope you enjoyed. One parting message that I want to give you that was going to be on the list of outs, but I think is maybe more just a general statement to make, is that in the new year, you might feel very inspired to start like 8 things at once. But I encourage you to not do that. I just want you to start maybe 1 or 2 things at a time and then stack those on top of each other once they've become consistent, once they've become just things that you decide to do as part of your routine almost unconsciously. Just because your brain is probably not wired to incorporate 8 new life-changing habits in the span of a week or even a month, for example. So one thing that's helped me a lot is splitting up my goals and my New Year's resolutions in little phases. So for example, right now, I'm in my phase of getting back into the habit of doing my podcast once a week. That's something that I have to make time for. That's something that I have to balance with the rest of my life and my work. I'm also doing Dry January. That's not something that I wanted to commit to for the rest of the year, but I've just decided to do it for a month. Starting in February, I'm probably going to start my half marathon training because the race is in May. So this looks different for everyone, but just keep in mind that starting new habits takes a long time. It will probably take you the whole year to phase in all of the goals that you want to do. But if you start doing them all at once, then you're probably not going to end up sticking with any of them. And just one more reminder that resolutions are meant to serve you. They're something that you wanted to do in the first place. You came up with them. You're sticking to them. You decided to do these things because you saw a better life on the other side once you are able to incorporate these into your life. So if you find yourself really dreading doing them forever and it's just not working, then it's okay to just change your mind in the middle of the year. Sometimes what you thought you wanted to do can change, and that's okay. You don't have to wait till January 1st to do that. It's very likely that I won't accomplish everything on my list, and that's okay, because as long as I do one of them, that's better than I was last year. So I'll leave it there. Be so kind to yourself during this time. I hope you all have had a wonderful past couple of months. I'm super happy to be back. And we have some super fun stuff planned for season two, so stay tuned. With that, thank you for tuning into another episode of the Creative Juice Box podcast. Go create something today, get a juice box if you want, and I will see you in the next episode.